Item nine, discussion concerning new boardroom.
Yeah, so at the last board meeting, there was a discussion and update to the board on our new office location at 1200 Concord Avenue and the boardroom that we're currently developing and designing there. And as mentioned, you know, we are currently on schedule. Construction hasn't begun yet, but a lot of, quite a bit of the design work is being developed and working with different vendors on different items. In that discussion, we also talked about how, you know, we are going to have a bigger boardroom. We did count some chairs, and we are going to have more seating for the public and for our members. And also, there were a couple of folks that had mentioned, oh, maybe we should talk about, right now we're doing audio recording the meetings. Is this something that we want to look at video recording? And as we build out the room, is that something that we want to have build out as well? So I wanted to get back to you and let you know that we did take a look at, and one of the questions at that meeting was around the cost and taking a look at the software solution and hardware for the first 3 years of maintaining it and having something where we had something on our website. Depending on the setup and how many cameras, it ranged approximately between $60,000 and $90,000, if that's something
One-time
that the
cost?
Huh?
One-time cost?
No. So that includes the initial setup as well as the annual maintenance cost.
What would the maintenance cost be? Are you saying $60,000 and $92,000?
So the, I have the breakdown. which piece was your question? The hardware or the software?
We're either on the annual maintenance
cost. Or the one-time and the annual.
Yeah,
okay.
Break down the two.
So the one-time hardware cost for a single camera is around $15,000, and for a three camera, it was around $47,000.
Okay.
That's the hardware setup, and then the software initial costs are layered on top of that.
One more time,
did
sorry.
Did you want to know what that was?
No.
Evel Knievel was going by there.
Are you saying this is the one-time cost, the initial setup cost, or is this the recurring cost?
So the numbers I gave you are the initial setup of the hardware, separate from the software.
Okay, and then the recurring cost would just be the software license, or?
So then with the software, the initial costs so for the initial year, it was around $17,000 or a little more, and then afterwards, it's like around $13,000-$14,000 a year going forward to maintain on the software side.
And on the hardware side, the recurring cost, none?
I mean, at some point, if you want to replace a camera or something like that. But
okay.
Once the cable is run and you have the camera installed, and also what's not included in this as well is that
operator.
Depending on engineer. You know, the camera setup, we might need to have someone, an individual in the room with kind of a setup that operates it, so that cost isn't included. So that was one of the questions that came up, so I wanted to provide that information to the board.
And audio, to maintain and load and everything, what's the annual cost of that?
Currently?
Probably nothing.
No, because you have to upload it. Oh, really? Do we just upload it ourselves? We don't use Granicus or anything?
We don't use a separate software.
Okay,
vendor.
So we're just doing that. Well, the other thing, because Gail and I talked briefly, is I really wasn't aware that we don't live stream, and we don't for a lot of reasons. We don't. So to me, if you're not live streaming, the demand for the video is far less than if you are, and I'm much more comfortable just leaving the audio. From a cost savings, and you know, live stream to me is valuable if someone wants to watch exactly what we're doing right then, or if even a board member is not available, they can watch what's going on. So to me, it was an interesting exercise, but I'm fine just sticking with audio. It's cost effective, and to be honest, I've never had anyone come to me and say, gee, I really wish I could see the video of your CICERA meetings. So
I agree. You might share what other systems are doing.
Yeah.
True.
So we did a survey of other systems, the 19 other 37 Act systems websites, And the vast majority of them do not have audio or video on their websites. You know,
that's on their website, but do they have any of that elsewhere, like internally for board use?
I haven't done a poll to determine that.
Curious.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I mean, I think ultimately the goal is transparency, and you know, when the board a number of years ago went with having the audio recording provided, I think it was really about, you know, Sisera wanting to be transparent to our membership and to the public, and you know, it was determined that that was the best way at that time, and we've continued that. And I don't know if video captures, and you know, I mean, there's some additional things that you can capture, but yeah.
Does your board have how many people go on when you have a board meeting?
How many people come up to speak?
No, how many people are on your video or watching the video while the meeting's going on?
I don't know that we track that because we're live streamed and we're also on regular cable TV. Yeah, CCTV is broadcast on AT&T, on UVerse, as well as on Comcast. Yes. So I don't know what our viewership is, and we also repeat it. So the ones we hear about are more, hey, I was in the hospital at 2 in the morning, and there was nothing else on. I saw you, you know. So those are the people who are watching us. So I couldn't sleep last night, and I was channel surfing. And they're infomercials, but there you were. So, I will say media watches this live sometimes if they're covering an issue or concerned individuals who have an issue, but no, there's not a large viewership. The other thing I will say though is when issues do come up in the cities, city councils, when there's a controversial item, very often people will want to go back and
look at it
and watch it so they can see what the city council members were saying, what the city attorney was saying, that sort of thing. So there's value in it, but given that we don't do it immediately and our topics, they're exciting, but I don't know. $90,000 exciting. So
Will, David, Jerry, and the council.
So just to clarify, so the cameras are $15,000 just for the hardware each, and then there's a annual service contract supporting those as well. And then additionally, there's probably going to be somebody to possibly edit or support those systems when we're live, or not live, but when we're recording, excuse me.
Well,
like, do you have to train somebody, or?
Well, it would depend on the type of camera setup that you would have.
Okay.
Because there's some that have a single camera and a fixed setup where you see kind of the whole room, and certain things might be more difficult to discern and that kind of thing. Or if you want to have like a three camera setup where you have someone controlling so that when, you know, someone speaks at the podium, you go to that camera, and then the next shot is the other camera going to a board member or something like that. So there's not in those systems, we wouldn't necessarily have a lot of splicing or editing. I mean, that's not, and I don't think the goal would be to have something that we then go and edit after the fact, because, I mean, that's not transparent.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then those systems that you're talking about that switch views, that's included in the price, and that's essentially automatic. I mean, it does it itself based off the software.
Mm-hmm. We would have someone in the room
to control. So we'd have to have a staff member.
We'd have a staff member.
Okay. And then there's also the storage costs associated with video and what resolution and where are we going to host that and who's going to, you know. So at $15,000 a camera seems really high unless they're made of solid gold to me.
Well, that's not the sole camera cost.
That's the total install.
That's like, yeah.
Got it. With all the equipment and everything like that. Understood. Well, it seems like a lot of support is needed for video when it really, I don't know if for our board is providing that much value to the public. I see the Board of Supervisors, I mean, that's
council.
Yeah, that's
more common issues.
Yeah.
Pretty riveting.
But the audio has been, since I've been a board member and we've been recording, just listening to the audio itself has been enough for me to grasp what's going on. You know, unless Rusty gets shot.
Yeah.
We could change that scenario, too.
I think we need to.
Appreciate it.
Can we just have Rusty get hit by a bus? I mean, stop with the gun.
No, but it just seems like a lot in terms of costs, and then there's going to be trouble with the camera system. There's going to be, you know, and then just dealing with large, I mean, some of our board meetings go for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, what's the latest, longest, Todd? 8 hours? I don't know.
Took about
but seven. That's a large chunk of video that we would have to manage, and staff would have to figure out and then upload it to the site. And it's just, I don't really see, understanding all the costs, I don't really see, unless somebody can argue, I don't really see the value versus just the audio recording that we've been providing.
So. I agree. David?
If we had a public demand for the video, then I think we would need to go ahead with that just for transparency's sake. But again, like you said, really haven't heard of anyone wanting to see the meetings. And I very much appreciate the dynamic that we have and the level of discussion that we can have together, and some very challenging discussions and so forth. And I don't know how that video recording might impact that and some of the other meetings you go to, but I wouldn't, you know, the camera's on, and then, you know, everyone's like, well, in my opinion, you know, I want to keep going what we have going. I think what we have going is very special and allows for a level of discussion that might be impaired if we had video going on.
Still have something, Jerry?
Yeah, I'm sorry. No pressure.
Okay. No!
I'll try and come up with something new.
No! Knock yourself out.
I had some of when this topic came up a number of years ago, I had some of the same reservations about potential grandstanding by people in the public and members of the public and even board members. But my plan B, I guess, would be, is it worth considering any kind of advance work, cabling and whatnot, to be done while the build-out is underway? The only reason I say that is because it's generally a lot tougher, a lot more expensive later on if somebody comes back and says, why didn't you do this 6 months ago when you were doing this? So is there any level of base cabling or something that might be considered at the time of the build-out that could be utilized in a future date rather than retrofitting? Just a thought.
That's a good point.
Because it has these panel ceilings where you just run the wire through with when you've got the panel
ceiling.
It's a possibility that we could do.
Why don't we just look into that too? I think that's
so probably around $4,000 if we wanted
to run all the wire,
run the cabling, and
it might be twice that much to do it 5 years from now when there's some big demand for something. So
or the cabling will be outdated.
Or that's right, it'll all be wireless.
See, that's the thing.
That's the other thing too, is we're talking about for the next 10 years.
Technology changes so quickly. I don't think I.
Yeah, but if that was your primary thing, you'd never buy a new computer. Because it's going to change in a year. Right?
Oh, yeah. No, it's... Well,
they count on that. That's Moore's Law.
Yeah. No, Apple does a good job.
Harvey?
I was just going to comment, give you a different perspective than my trial lawyer had on. We tried a case
of
Stanislaus County Board, breach of fiduciary duty last summer. And I can tell you that having the videos of the board's deliberations and not just a transcript or an audio really made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Those videos demonstrated clearly the board's judgment and what they considered, and you know, it made a fantastic record. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you have to try a case, and I don't think I would make this kind of administrative cost solely for the purpose that somewhere down the line we're gonna have have to go to trial on something like that. But it makes a huge difference, because if you do a transcript, the person transcribing doesn't know if it's Dr. McDonald or Rusty or somebody else talking. And then you have to go through and correct all that. And the audio is the same sort of thing. And sometimes the audio doesn't pick up very well. So, but having that video of demonstrating the board's, it went a long way, frankly, in proving that the board exercises judgment properly and good consideration of facts and witnesses that came before the board and all like that. So it was really very meaningful, actually. So just a different perspective. not that that tail should wag the administrative dog, but if you're close to making that decision, it's a consideration.
How would you weigh that against the role of board governance when it comes to the type of discussions that are had when there's video versus, you know, other
things? Forget about it. You know, it's been an age-old conversation in the courts, you know. Is it going to change things showing court proceedings live? Most of the other systems, I can sort of go around a little bit. Stanislaus has video recordings of everything. Jada's in San Jose.
We're on TV.
We're on TV, online. Simulcast down there, video.
I try and comb my hair.
Orange County does, just does it for archival purposes, preparing the minutes, but it's video, but it's not simulcast. So it's a public record. It can be made available to anybody, but it's not simulcast. Lacera is simulcast and video, and they have video both on the presenter's table and on the board table, and so it switches back and forth.
When you say simulcast, you mean it's broadcast? Yeah, yeah. When you say simulcast, you mean it's broadcast?
Broadcast simultaneously.
To a stream or to something?
Yeah. San Jose has a system called Granicus that broadcasts all
a lot of
their,
us use Granicus.
Public meetings.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should wait until the Supreme Court decides to use video.
Yeah, well, they're very close to that.
I've been hearing that for about 100 years.
Anyway, so a lot of systems do have it. I don't think it's a big cost item, and it's all electronic, so it's not like you're storing big reels of tape. It's useful. But to your point, I haven't seen it changing behavior. I've seen people grab each other around the throat verbally and physically at board meetings without any concern that they're actually being broadcast and recorded. So it hasn't interfered with the conversation.
Harvey, at least one of the ones you just described doesn't broadcast.
Orange County doesn't broadcast it, but they do a video recording.
So they've got that in archives that they, exactly. Which would obviously meet the legal test support that you just described for Stanislaus.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we've used that before in court to demonstrate the board's, what the board considered and who spoke and active members spoke and members and appointed members spoke. It's really easy to cut clips from it and put it up on the screen in court.
Sounds like the debate about body cams.
So we found it very useful. But like I say, I wouldn't make that the only reason why you go that route, but it really makes a huge difference.
Todd, so hearing that in the discussion, I'm actually going to flip. So I'm going to actually support it based off three things. One is we're a board of the 21st century, and we're in public, and we're trying to maintain this transparency, and we're going into a new boardroom, and we should set it up with the technology that everyone's expecting these days, which may be video and those type of things. Whether or not we broadcast it on a stream, I think that's a question for later, but I think we should set it up for video. For that reason, for also the reason that Harvey mentioned in terms of a good record. And then third, in this day and age, we're very concerned. We've become more and more concerned about security. And I think that if we have somebody that comes to speak and there becomes an event, we now have, you know, evidence that could be used to, you know, possibly prosecute them or, you know, support an assault charge or something like that. So I think now I'm leaning more towards the video after hearing Harvey.
So now you get Rusty's attention again, especially if the guy's armed.
No, I let that one go.
I think. Okay. Yeah.
I was just asking, Will, how many cameras?
Oh, I have no idea. I'm going to go with the whatever the
what one or three.
Well, I think we should consider maybe something meeting in the middle. If the cost is too high for three and it's auto, you know, switching, and there's a huge software cost. Maybe there's a system that's like stationary that's just showing the board and maybe just showing the audience, or, you know, and I don't know. I mean,
Candace has the most experience with this, right?
Well, I think from the Board of Supervisors, we have someone who is sitting there changing cameras based upon who's speaking. town of Danville, when I was on the council, we didn't have one. But then when they went to it, they use a remote one, and a lot of them are voice. Whichever microphone is activated, the camera will automatically switch over to it. So you don't have to have somebody there, but it's more processing it, and you would want to get into some sort of a subscription, I think, to really a professional archival. And you do end up with, of course, the requests for it, for through public records requests, other things of people wanting to access it, unless it's immediately available, archivally. And then it comes down to the question of, then do you have people asking you, well, if you're going ahead and videoing it, why aren't you live streaming it? And why aren't you making it available instantaneously? And that raises some issues with the confidentiality of some of the information. Not that it's not a public meeting, but do you want people making investment decisions based upon what we're doing today, live? Again, not sure that anything's that nefarious, although, they can sit in the back corner with a laptop, making decisions that way. With regard to how people act on camera, you become oblivious to it. You don't know what's there. You don't, most people don't act any differently. Although once, a long time ago, I say Morgan Hill City Council, there was one individual who would speak to the camera at every occasion, and he now sits on a Santa Clara agency, which I won't mention. But nevertheless, most people don't, and it's usually the concerned citizens who repeatedly come and look into the camera. We don't have that issue here.
So. Have you ever watched some Senate and House of Representatives hearings?
Yeah.
Tell me they're not playing to the camera.
Well, no.
And all of them.
Well, because everyone's watching C-SPAN.
That's right.
We all watch C-SPAN. So, I mean, I could go either way on it, and I think Harvey raises a very good point. In the scheme of things, the cost isn't that high compared to the rest of our budget. But I think I'd want more information about how we would really manage the data and the... Who was the entity, Gail, you were talking to with regard to managing the video and uploading it and all of that?
So we were in discussions with Granicus.
With Granicus, okay.
Yeah. And then our AV vendor for the new space.
Okay, yeah, so. And Granicus, they do a good job, and they do a lot of other agenda managing. Transportation Authority, CCTA, uses them, as do, I think Danville is using Granicus now as well. So.
I'm not hearing anybody else jump out on Gail's letter or email yesterday, but you could drop down, and I did for a few minutes and looked at Imperial.
Uh-huh.
Imperial was the single camera, and basically the single camera captured. They sat in sort of a DS up in front as opposed to the way we're configured now. I'm assuming in our new boardroom, I think I'm recalling that probably could do the same thing. I thought it was perfectly effective in capturing...
Just having the one camera.
That single camera. If we're going to go down the route of three versus one, Imperial looked just fine to me.
Yeah.
I would take... this sort of goes to David's comment. to me, anyway, everyone looked wooden as contrasted to how I think we appear without the camera on any of us. It was just, it was maybe not the 1920s movies, but they just look wooden. So I leave it at that.
So I'm in agreement with 15 minutes ago, Will. I find that the audio recordings, I've gone back to them several times, and they more than meet the needs of what I was looking for, and I don't hear much clamoring from the public. If it's the will of the board that, Gail brings this item back as an action item, so be it. But otherwise, I'm fine with the audio recordings as is. So
I'm comfortable with one camera for now. The way you described it.
The inexpensive video.
Pardon?
So you're voting sort of the inexpensive video is sort of what you're voting
for. Yeah, for what I think we need right now, just one that captures the full board and discussion, and whoever stands at the podium, they're back. But otherwise,
I vote
we need to dive in and do all three cameras.
I'm voting to stay with audio.
All right.
And this is it's a discussion informational item.
Right. We're not giving you true direction other than whether we ask you to bring something back.
Yeah.
But she's at that point where this could be rolled into the cost of renovating, getting the building ready. So, I mean.
So is there more than, you know, Rusty and Will for cameras?
I'm good with the will of the board. I mean, whatever the board. It's not a discussion. It's not a voting. We're not an action item right now.
Right. No. And I just want to give Gail direction, you know.
Sure. On whether to bring it back or not.
Just because we're in construction right now.
Yeah.
I still think we should take this opportunity to price it out, spec it out. And
but hasn't
see.
She done that already?
Well, I mean, in terms of the construction, we haven't let a contractor told somebody that they should.
So to get a camera ready, in essence,
to get
saying,
to get it wired,
ready,
or
have some kind of a conduit that they could run the cable through.
Have a pre-wired for
something. I mean,
yeah. Or put the pull strings in, so then you can just pull the cable.
I'm just trying to avoid the later on when we decide to do it, and somebody says we should have done this in April.
And if you want to pre-wire, I think that's something you can, you know, provide some direction on, and we can incorporate that in.
That's what I'm trying
and
to
it's
do.
$2,000, so to versus if you wanted to come back and have, you know.
To Candace's point, you could just run conduit with pull strings, and then whatever the cable is, they just pull it through later down the road. You know,
not to nitpick, but do they even require conduit? Some jurisdictions don't. So
no, for low voltage, yeah. If there's, for example, I know there's two pillars in there that are going to have TVs. So maybe you would put conduit up into the T-bar seal. You know, just kind of wherever the cameras are going. Obviously, T-bar, you know, they just run the cable just along what are called J-hooks. So,
and we can do that.
Yeah,
we can definitely do what's necessary to, do some sort of, behind the ceiling work so that in the future if something were to change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that would be a good
middle ground
right now. And then if we feel the need in the near future, next couple of years, to do the video, or our topics are so interesting that we know everyone's going to want to find them live, then sort of move in that direction. But I think that's a good
approach. Makes sense to me.
Makes sense to me.
Okay.
I think you got it.
Okay.
Send some support there?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.